And welcome back to the program. We're very happy today to be able to bring you an interview with someone we hope will become a regular friend here on Strong Voices. His name is Peter Gebhardt. Peter is a former judge in Victoria. He's also an educator. He worked for many years at some of the more heady schools down there in Victoria. And he's also a poet. Peter also contributes to the national papers with his opinion pieces. He joins us on the program this morning. Peter, if I can introduce you to the program just by saying that in 2003 you made the comment that Aboriginal Australia is now largely irrelevant to public discourse. The conversation, you said, has been cut off, and the article said that this offends and disturbs you. How do you feel now?
Well, I don't think it's improved much. Whole range of complexities, it seems to me, and there are voices about the referendum, and they're all differing. Well, that's understandable, but got to be careful the debate isn't curtailed because the warring forces don't come together. I think it's a very important issue. 1967 was a great step, and then in 1979 I was one of the signatories to the call for a treaty. And that was a big group of people, and it was very promising. It too was killed. And you have to go on fighting, there's no doubt about it. But I really am certain that the issue of maturity for the country will never be solved until this issue is solved, until the history is plainly recognised and accosted. It's no good pretending that these things didn't happen. When I wrote one book of poems called Their Stories, Our People, Our History, I wrote quite a lot of poems about massacres, but there just is ignorance about those massacres, and the community doesn't really want to face up to it. Well, they'll be an immature community until they do.
I know in the past as well you have commented on former Prime Minister John Howard, now in more ways than one perhaps, but again, when we look at this issue of accepting the history, Australian history, non-Indigenous history, is only a couple of hundred years old. What most non-Indigenous people can't get their head around is the fact that Aboriginal history precedes them by quite a long time and for quite a great deal longer.
40,000 years. I've been on about that. It's just, I don't think they want to face it because it would mean facing facts that would be uncomfortable. I've always admired the resilience of the Aboriginal people. They've stuck at it, and voices like Pat Dodson's have gone on being heard. And to me, his is a great voice. It's a voice I really respect. And until the middle class and the richer people are prepared to adopt a reasonable listening position, nothing will happen. And that, to me, is a great sadness.
Peter, what is it that is so hard for people to take on board? I mean, you know, we've had the culture war debate, that's dragged on for years, keeps raising its head every now and again. And but, I mean, at the heart of it, really it's the inability of Australians in general to accept that someone did precede them here. And
exactly.
And also that we do owe them something. I mean, the First Nations people of this country have shared this country and continue to share it, and one can understand in many ways why some, not all, but some are still struggling to understand why people can't recognise them.
Shared on very unequal terms, really. If you look at the history of white and black relationships since 1788, there has never been an indication that these people weren't thinking, the ones that came, that they were superior. And, I mean, the problem with John Howard was he was a white supremacist, and the cricketing world knew that, and so did Pauline Hanson. Well, that's not an attitude that you can take. I quite regularly meet with a couple of Aboriginal tertiary students at the moment, and I can watch the racism. You can see it, and it doesn't apply to the Chinese and Asians in the community. And that's partly because there are not enough of them about. I think the real answer is education, and opportunities for education, I think, have improved. Sometimes they're a bit benevolent to me, but that's another issue. And it's education for the whites through contact with Indigenous people. They've got to see more of them. In 1979, when I tried to establish in Geelong a subcommittee of the call for a treaty, three people came. Nobody else had ever seen an Aboriginal. And I think that's a good point to make about getting them to have contact, whites, with Aboriginals. I've got a marvellous dentist. He goes every year to Arriyonga for a week. And I went up with him once. And that contact is worth millions. He does that voluntarily. My GP now goes to Gove on a volunteer basis. I think that's good. But it's good also if the general population could possibly have a greater exposure to Aborigines. I mean, they love them as footballers, but that's dead tomorrow.
As a judge, I'm sure that you saw many Aboriginal people, the revolving door of Aboriginal people through the judicial process. And
I did, particularly in Gippsland, where, of course, was quite a big community. And I remember being reported once for saying, well, these people are up on issues. They're all issues arising from what we did to them. I mean, we gave them the alcohol, and we exposed them to insecurity, and yet, I mean, the figures are still awful about Indigenous people being in jail. Awful. Oh, I mean, I was rather regarded as a soft one. Never mind.
The situation, I'm sure you're still aware, Peter, hasn't improved at all. I mean, there've been many attempts and moves to try and break the system, but again, at the heart of it is the understanding of the non-Indigenous mob. As far as Aboriginal people are concerned, they read a lot of negatives about them in and out of prison. You know, the crime waves in South Australia, it was all the Gang of 49. Very negative stereotypes of...
That's very interesting you say that, because I know quite a lot of people at The Age, and I keep telling them, you must report positive stories. There are positive stories out there, and they've got to be reported. And, of course, the Murdoch press is just revolting, but never mind.
Peter, just before we finish, this debate about the, recognition
in the Constitution,
in the Constitution, I mean, for many Aboriginal people, at the end of the day, they're saying, well, what difference will it make?
Very, very good point, I think. And that's why I think if they're not involved, and properly involved, it'll be just a farce. It'll become a compromise, and they'll fiddle with the preamble. But that doesn't establish anything. I mean, what has to be established is that these people own this land, and their culture is significant. And it would be significant to us if we allowed it to be so.
Peter, on that note, I do thank you very much for joining us on our program. We certainly look forward to keeping in touch with you and keep the articles coming. I'm sure each little bit might just make someone think a little bit differently. Peter Ebhart, we do thank you for joining us.